Its current state on WKAR, I'm Mark Bayshore. Representative Andy Shore is in his first term representing Michigan's 68th House District. The Lansing Democrat recently introduced two bills involving schooling in the state. One would allow at-risk schools to stretch instruction days throughout the calendar year. The other would allow Michigan schools to open before Labor Day. State Representative Andy Shore rejoins us here on Current State to talk about these and other recent developments. Welcome back.
Thanks, Mark. It's great to be here, as always.
I'd like to get your take first on yesterday's no ruling from Judge Bernard Friedman involving the state's ban on gay marriage. He will allow the measure to come to trial in February, claiming the case requires a trial to be settled.
You know, I would have liked to have seen it decided yesterday. I think both parties said that it could be decided by rule of law. I'm not a judge, so that's clearly, you know, his decision, and I respect that. I think there are a lot of couples out there who love each other who've been waiting a long time, and they thought that yesterday would be the day, and now they have to wait until February, and that, you know, that's disappointing. But you know, if at the end of the day this comes out the way I hope it will, well, you know, where we can allow people to be in love and to be, you know, married and strike down a discriminatory piece in our Constitution, then, you know, waiting a few more months, I guess, won't be that bad. But it would be nice to see this decided, and I'm hopeful that it'll come out on the side of, you know, of allowing people to have love and to be able to respect their relationships.
Let's talk about the two bills you've introduced. One would allow at-risk schools to prolong instruction throughout the entire year. Why'd you file this?
You know, when I first got elected, I went to an orientation. I was talking to a gentleman named Dan DeGroe. He's the former Republican Senate Majority Leader, and he's now superintendent in the St. Clair School District. He said to me, we have abundant information and white papers and things that, especially in at-risk school districts, when kids leave in June and come back in September, they don't have the same resources as in some of the wealthier districts for educational camps and things like that. And in that 3 months, they lose so much information and knowledge that when they come back in September, they need 30 to 60 days just to catch up to where they were.
The summer slide.
That's right.
Right?
That's exactly right. And, you know, we only have 180 days, and if we're going to lose 30 to 60 days relearning information, that's a big loss for our kids, especially in at-risk areas. So I worked with him, and the idea is let's allow for schools to have a balanced calendar and to go throughout the year. Now, schools can do that now. This isn't something new. You know, in Holt, they've got two schools that are doing it. They had one, and it was so successful they opened a second one. The problem is, especially in these at-risk districts, we've got older buildings that we can't afford to convert them to put in air conditioning. If you're going to be in the summer, you have to have air conditioning. In Lansing schools, you know, it's anywhere from $600,000 to $1.2 million to convert a building for air conditioning and HVAC and other things. So the idea was, let's create a pilot program. Let's say we're going to put, say, $10 million into a fund, and we're going to allow schools to apply for that money if they're going to go all year. So it's up to the local school district to decide, you know, within discussions with their parents and teachers and things like that. But right now, they may want to do it. They just don't have they don't have $700,000 to put into putting air conditioning in an old building. And this would allow for a pilot program. My bill would allow for a pilot program to provide those resources. And I'm working with the governor's office on it. We put $10 million in it, but that's kind of a placeholder. I'm willing to use whatever the governor and the budget director are willing to provide through appropriation so that we can get Lansing and St. Clair and whatever other school districts to be able to convert the buildings they want if they choose to go all year.
Really interesting proposal. What's the response been like so far?
Tremendously positive. Tremendously positive.
You know, bipartisan?
Yeah. I had four or five Republicans sign the bill. And, you know, it's, again, it's a question of the money. We put $10 million in, but, you know, people say, where's the money going to come from? And the reality is the governor does a budget every year, and he puts in one-time funding in a variety of budgets. So I'm hopeful that he's going to recommend a certain amount in the budget coming up. We'll use my legislation to implement the program, and we'll go forward, and we can get it done in time for, you know, the summer, before the summer, so we can convert some of these buildings and get going on this.
Your other proposal would allow schools to open again before Labor Day. Why do you like that?
Well, you know, we look at right now, schools, they have a crunch time. They start in September, they end in June. Our law says they can't start before Labor Day. That was put in 8 or 10 years ago to preserve the Labor Day weekend and extended weekend for tourism. I'm supportive of tourism, but I think if, you know, my bill doesn't touch the hours, it still says 180 days and the 1,000 whatever hours. But I think if school districts want to start a week, 2 weeks, 3 weeks earlier than that, so that they can have more time to prepare for the meet, so that they can have more time, more vacation days, you know, throughout the year. If they want to add another week onto Christmas or onto, you know, in April, I think they should have that flexibility. And the other issue I'll raise is, you know, if you've got kids in schools, especially in older, you know, in high school and middle school, they're starting in early August for cheerleading, for football, for a band, for a variety of activities. So these kids are in the schools anyway. They might as well not just be there for extracurricular. They might as well be there getting an education. For the tourism industry, we built in and said the Friday before Labor Day has to be a day off, so they get a guaranteed 4-day vacation. And people can go up north and they can, you know, take the last weekend of the summer to swim and whatever. But it also opens up, again, another week or another 2 weeks later on in the year that people can go up north and ski and snowmobile and whatever. So it still assists tourism, but it gives the schools the ability to have flexibility on when they want to start. And as we research this, most other states have that. Some states do have a prohibition like we do, but most states have that kind of a flexibility. And I think a local control and allowing, you know, schools down in the southern part of the state, if they want to do this, in the northern part of the state, if they don't, it should be up to them.
It's interesting how that proposal kind of dovetails with the first proposal that you mentioned, because we're really talking, ultimately, we're talking about spreading out the days of instruction.
Yeah, and the you know, the Labor Day proposal really says we can use the existing infrastructure. The all-year school is more, let's balance that calendar for schools that want to do it.
And now, are tourism interests lined up more vigorously against this proposal? Is there as much support for this, or interest in this, I'll say, as the first one?
The tourism industry has come out against it, which is not a surprise, although I've actually met with a variety of folks in the tourism industry who are not as against it as their association may say. And we actually had an editorial in the Holland Sentinel and in the Alpina newspaper saying, this is not a bad idea. This is a good idea. We can survive without it because people want to come up north, and it gives them more time to come up north in the winter. Mm-hmm. So folks in those areas are supporting it, but the tourism industry has come out against it, and we just have a disagreement. And they've got a lot of numbers, and I challenge them, and I will challenge them when my bill gets a hearing to show me the increased benefit they're going to get later in the year as opposed to whatever they think they're going to lose, and recognizing that they have a 4-day weekend still built in. Mm-hmm. You know, I'm willing to play with that. We can make it a 5-day weekend. I don't know, but I don't think the numbers are as drastic as what they're going to say when my bill gets a hearing.
We're talking with Democratic State Representative Andy Shore of Lansing. You're an advocate of greater education spending here in Michigan. Internal polling data in the Senate, you're in the House, but internal polling data in the Senate indicates under 50% public support for increased school spending. This is according to MERS News. Are you surprised by that number? Are you disappointed by any lack of enthusiasm for school spending coming from the public?
I haven't seen the poll question. I haven't seen the poll results. I would be surprised by that. I served on the House Democrats Education Reform Task Force, and one of the things that we actually found out is that we don't actually know all of the costs associated with school activities. We don't know the total cost for busing, for special ed, for, you know, regular education. One of the things we recommended was an audit, that schools get audited to figure out how much their expenses are, and we can match the spending to those expenses. Now, we think that we're not spending enough because of the cuts that have happened over the last 2 years, over the last 2 to 3 years. In Lansing schools, they went from $7,300 per pupil to $7,100 per pupil. At the same time, we've seen buildings close. We've seen higher, more kids in classrooms and things like that. So, you know, anecdotally, we can say less money has resulted in negative things for our kids. But again, the task force we had said, let's have an audit. My superintendent, Lansing school superintendent, came up with the idea. Let's have an audit. Let's put all the costs on the table and figure out, you know, how do the spending and the cost match? And then we can show the people this is the cost that we have. These are the things that your kids are getting. These are the costs we have. This is what we think we should be spending, especially when there are, you know, $800 million surpluses where the money is not going back into the schools. This should be our priority. And I think everybody agrees with that. Let's figure out how much we need to be spending to pay for the appropriate things for our kids.
What's the future of this audit idea?
Well, we've got legislation that we're putting in. The future is the Republicans need to agree to take this up in committee, and we'll continue to push the idea, and hopefully this legislation can become reality. But, you know, the reality is the Democrats are in the minority, and we're going to continue to push ideas, and we hope that our Republican colleagues will take them up in committee.
I want to revisit your other two proposals briefly here. Are you confident of hearings on both of those?
The tourism, my pre-Labor Day, allowing schools to open pre-Labor Day, that bill was not referred to Education Committee. It was referred to the Tourism Committee, which was interesting. But the chairman of the committee has indicated that he's planning to take it up for a hearing. So I'm pretty excited about that. You know, whether it's to bring the tourism folks in and let them beat it up or give me a chance to prove my bill is good, he has said that he's going to take that up for a hearing. And I respect Chairman Battaglia. He's from Alpena. He's a good guy. I'm not optimistic, but he has said that it's going to get a hearing. The other bill we're working on with the appropriations chairman, the balanced calendar bill, the all-year school bill, I'm working on that with the appropriations chairman, which is where the bill resides now. And I've had conversations with the governor and his folks about it. And I am confident that bill will get a hearing and hopefully move. It may not be the exact same provisions, but I'm confident some version will get a hearing.
With regard to public revenue, to public spending, not just school spending, but we've seen the whole roads funding drama just drag on and on. Could you say that the larger public is simply not in a mood to be taxed more on otherwise important initiatives? I mean, has spending fatigue set in?
You know, people are always, whenever you ask people, do you want to pay more in taxes, they're always going to say, no, I don't want to pay more in taxes.
But when you ask them about the service, they tend to respond more favorably.
They do. And usually when it's funny because especially when you look at local government funding, when it's funding tied to a specific use, people are generally more supportive. So when you look at, you know, here in Lansing and other areas with millages, people tend to pass millages for specific things that they want. You know, if you say, how about your city have a general increase, generally the people don't like that because they don't know what the money's going for.
It's mystery money.
It is. Yeah. It is. And I see the same thing going on right now when it comes to transportation funding, roads funding, and other things. You know, I think people generally would be supportive of spending money to fix our roads. But, you know, the many proposals that we have, the most recent one, that's not the proposal. The proposal is move money from education and local governments to our roads, you know, statutorily, and then go to the ballot to backfill the education through a sales tax increase. You know, people are saying, well, if I'm going to pay 1 to 1.5% more for sales tax, what am I getting? Mm-hmm. And the answer is really, you're getting better roads, but the proposal doesn't say anything about roads. It says you're going to get this money for schools and you don't get better schools. So I think people will be leery of that. And I think that they're always going to be leery of increased taxes when they can't figure out where the money goes.
Have you had occasion to meet with incoming state treasurer Kevin Clinton yet?
I haven't. I know he's been he has been the insurance commissioner for the last few years. I have not had a chance to meet with him yet.
Well, he told us yesterday here on Current State that he's going to be meeting with a lot of state legislators. So that may happen soon. Any advice or input for him?
You know, the Department of Treasury is a tough place. There are a lot of people who are upset with folks at Treasury. I've heard, especially from our local governments, a lot of people who are upset with the way the revenue sharing or the EVIP program is working. And, you know, you see a lot of decisions from Treasury that are then countered on a different conversation. I think he needs to make sure that his folks are in the place where he wants them to be, as they give advice to local governments, as they give to advice to residents and citizens on tax things. It's not easy to be state treasurer, and our former state treasurer learned that one. And I think whether you're a Democrat or a Republican, it's not easy. You know, I wish him the best of luck. I hope he does work with the legislature. I look forward to working with Treasury on legislative issues and bills, and we'll continue to advocate for our constituents when it comes to tax matters at Treasury.
He's told the media that he wants to work on a model that better forecasts public revenue shortages in cities and school districts further into the future. Here's how we put it yesterday here on Current State.
If we can spot financial problems ahead of time, so we're not just walking into a municipality or school district and saying, hey, you know, you guys have financial problems, we're going to name an emergency manager. If we can predict this maybe 5 years out or even longer, then the municipalities can take the steps necessary to maybe to shore up their finances, so there's no need to put an emergency manager in.
Hard to quarrel with, you know, knowing bad news further in advance, but what do you make of that idea?
You know, it's actually funny. Before before I was a legislator, I worked for the Michigan Municipal League. I worked with a lot of cities.
Right.
One of the big issues with the previous emergency manager law before the current one was that the only thing that Treasury could do was help out communities after they got into trouble. So when the municipalities talked to Treasury about the new emergency manager law, they didn't weigh in specifically, but one of the issues was, how do we get Treasury to come in and help us out years in advance before there's a problem? So what he's saying, I think, is right. It needs to be a partnership. If you have a community or a school district that sees that it's not working out real well, they should be able to go to Treasury and ask Treasury for their experts' advice and help to prevent a situation that would require emergency manager. So I think that this is what locals have been asking for a few years, you know, whether it's a five-year budget projection or it's just a, you know, we know we're going to have some issues in the next few years. I do think as a partnership between local governments and Treasury, it's a good idea. So I hope he is working with the Townships Association, the Municipal League, and the Counties Association, and the schools for a partnership. I think that's a lot more positive than the way the emergency manager law came into effect last year.
Great conversation. Andy Shore is the Democratic representative representing Michigan's 68th House District. He is a Lansing resident. Andy, continued success. Thank you.
Thanks, Mark.